actor, comedian, podcaster, and host of the How You Live in J. Piven podcast, an extremely funny man, Jeremy Piven, with us this morning. Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm actually in my podcast room as we speak.
Okay. Well,
yes.
I can't wait to get into the podcast here in just a few, but I also have my buddy Gonzo in from the Midday Show with us. We are big fans of some of your movies, and I know he wants to ask about PCU. Was that your first movie?
PCU was not my first movie, but it was basically my first lead. And it's so funny because I remember, I'm just a stage actor from Chicago, and I'll never forget, when I got that role, I was driving down the street, and I saw a casting director on the street, and I pulled over, and I ran up to her, and because I had auditioned for her and never gotten anything with her, and I was, you know, I was so excited, I told her I got my first lead in a movie, and I went to hug her, and she looked at me like I was insane. And, you know, it's so interesting, and that I'm from this town, I'm from Chicago,
yeah,
the Midwest, where we have this incredible community. We support each other. We love each other. We're rooting for each other. And then I got to L.A. and it's like, oh, it's a little different here.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
It's a little bit, yeah, it's different. And I'm not being negative. I'm just saying it's just different. It was a rude awakening. Oh, okay. Because I assumed everyone's happy for each other, and that is not the case. And by the way, this is going to be about a 22-minute TED Talk, and I hope you're ready for it.
We're ready. We're taking notes.
Yeah, man, PCU was way ahead of its time,
yeah, it
as
was.
You know. We were kind of comedically unraveling the hypocrisy of people who habitually protest. There's even a protest where it's an anti-protest where they say we're not going to protest while protesting.
Right.
Which is, yeah, the movie was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm. Some of the iconic lines that come out of that we still use as drops here at Rock 94.5. You remember the one?
You're going to wear the shirt of the band you're going to see. Don't be that guy.
What are your memories about that?
That was one of those moments. By the way, that was with the great Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Whatever
yes.
happened to him? Oh, wait, he went on to direct all the Iron Mans.
That's right.
And I haven't heard from him since, and he's a genius, and I miss him. Boy, do I miss him. Anyway, he's you know, we're both a couple Midwest guys. He's a New York guy, actually. And he was crushing it, and I threw that line in there as kind of an improv, don't be that guy. And yeah, I'm very honored that for whatever reason, some of my improvs have really lasted. You know, let's hug it out, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear these. You know, I'll be watching SportsCenter, and you just hear these phrases that I coined. And it's funny. I if I even attempt to tell anyone younger that's mine, they laugh at me.
Right.
And so it's one of the great lessons of life. You just know it, you own it, and you move on.
Draws was kind of a Spicoli, you know, I mean, he kind of takes over the whole movie. Is that, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, he really is. It's a brilliant role. I couldn't, yeah, it was a really turning point moment for me. And you know, for whatever reason, and as we get older, we really reflect on, and we don't want to reflect too much. But, you know, that's one of those movies that, like, even today people are still quoting and talking about it, and yet it's hard to find. And yeah. It didn't kind of blow up at the box office, and it was my first kind of exposure to how the system works. And it's one of those things where, my God, do you need a lot of luck in this lifetime? And there are certain guys out there who have horseshoes stuck up their ass, and I'm not going to name any, The Rock. guys who just, you know, they may not have a background in acting, and they just, you know, get their leading movies and out there. And it's a lot of luck. It's a lot of schmoozing. And, you know, we can all take notes from them. But PCU is one of these movies where everyone quotes it, and they every day I have people saying, where can I find it?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I do want, in a way, the business to catch up to what people actually want. And it's evident they haven't really tapped into that yet, as you can see by all the things that are kind of rebooted.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, really, that's going to be rebooted? And then it does, and it doesn't quite land.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, for instance, from being on the road, you know, I'm on the ground, so I'm touring everywhere, and people are screaming, you know, lines from Entourage, and they miss it. There's a whole new generation that's checking it out.
Absolutely.
So when I come to your beautiful town and I'm doing stand-up, and by the way, after 80 movies and you know, this beautiful career, people say after my stand-up that they didn't know I was that funny. And that's a real shot in the arm for me, because this is all humor that's coming from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of the singer-songwriter on this one, and it means a lot to me that I can be in the same room with people and make them laugh and give them a sense of who I am.
And I had a question. You were talking about quotes and how quotable you are in your many characters. My question is, what character do you think is quoted the most from yourself?
It's definitely Ari Gold.
Yeah.
For now.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, people do love PCU. And you know, I've been in iconic movies like Old School, which
yes.
also stands the test of time.
No doubt.
Yeah, the Dean.
And, yeah, exactly. Didn't we lock you in a dumpster? I got out.
I got it.
So, yeah, probably Ari Gold. You know, I do get people just screaming Lloyd, randomly pulling over
okay.
on the street. And just screaming Lloyd.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're you know, all the guys get it and they laugh and the girls are going, what's going on? Does he have Tourette's? What's happening?
Physically demanding, you know, like your character, Buddy Israel, did you expect it to go in that direction when you took that role?
Absolutely.
What did you envision when you first took that role? I can just imagine that, you know, that is a lot of powerful stuff going through the movie theater.
Yeah. I don't know how to fake it. I don't know how to halfway do any role. I don't know why you would do it if you're not going to fully commit to it. So when I read that script that Joe Carnahan wrote
yeah.
brilliantly, and I mean, you look at that, it's funny, I'm looking at a poster of it as we speak. I mean, you look at that cast, is insane. You got Chris Pines and Ryan Reynolds and Alicia Keys and Common and Ray Liotta and Andy Garcia. It's like Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time, the studio was like, yeah, no one's really, you know, popping at the moment. So I remember I was so excited for the film and I put everything I had into it and yeah. lost a bunch of weight to play a guy that's always on cocaine. And to answer your question, by the way, I did know that it would go. I would have to go that deep. I'm honored to go wherever the character needs to go. I don't even have – there's not even an option in my mind.
Right.
I often go too far. but that's – you know, but that you never know what's – appropriate until you go too far. You know, the way I played Ari Gold, in the hands of someone that maybe either doesn't care or may not have a background in it, it'll look like someone's overacting.
Yeah.
It's too much. But, you know, I could sit on this call for a very long time and bore the hell out of you about where I come from and my style and where I've been and what led me to playing that role. And maybe someday I'll unpack that. And I do really believe the harder you work, the easier it looks. You know, with stand-up for me right now, people are just going, oh, you're a natural. It's like, well, you know, they're like, well, we've never seen you do stand-up, and you just jumped up there, and you're a natural. Well, I've been doing 5 to 8 shows a week for 10 years
yeah.
on the road to look like I'm a natural.
Well, I got to tell you, man, that this new movie that you just introduced to us back in January, the performance, I mean, 15 years in the making? Is that right?
Yeah, well, my mother, who passed away last month,
yeah.
and this is a tribute to her.
We are sorry to hear about that, too.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. She gave me the short story out of The New Yorker, and she said, you got to read this. There's something in her for you. And my God, you know, just, you know, my mom, she's been my acting teacher since I was a child. And you know, when she says something like that, it has a lot of weight, and she was so right, and it's the best role of my life.
It is. I mean, it's your crown jewel, would you not say?
Oh, 1,000%. And ironically, you know, it took 15 years and for me to do it myself, and everyone said they laughed in my face, and we couldn't find the money for a decade, and finally got the money and had my sister adapt the short story. And
that's right. She directs it.
Yeah, she did a brilliant job. And Robert Carlyle, who everyone knows from, God, Trainspotting, the Full Monty and everything else. And he plays opposite me and is completely brilliant. And it's the best work of my life. And it couldn't be more relevant, you know. There's a lot of confusion out there. And about history and there's anti-Semitism is on the rise, you know. They just tried to kill Josh Shapiro, who's the mayor out there in Pittsburgh on Passover. It's like, wait, what's going on, guys? what's really happening?
Yeah.
And a movie like this, to me, is a way that I can enter the conversation in the way that, look, man, I'm not a politician. And if I'm going to go out there and do these performative gestures and tweet and do all this stuff, and it's like, how do I contribute to the conversation? Well, I tell a story to the best of my ability, and it's the best thing I've ever done, and let you sit there for an hour and a half in the dark and see a different perspective, a different point of view, and a story that you've never seen and characters that you didn't know existed in a time just before the Holocaust that happened. Yeah. And so for the people that don't know history, maybe they'll be inspired to look into history. And then we can have conversations and uncomfortable ones.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a community that was integrated, and I was the only white boy on my football team. And I got to learn about people that didn't look like me. And, man, was that fun and cool and interesting. And then I get to witness racism and go like, wait, what's going on? Because I came from a place where I was informed, because – racism and anti-Semitism, I believe, is just when you're not aware, or you don't have knowledge of someone else's culture. And so, and sorry for this long answer, this film is the best thing I've ever done, but I think it also uncovers kind of the hypocrisy, the madness of anti-Semitism. But the great Arthur Miller, who won the Pulitzer Prize and is the best writer one of the best I've ever seen in my life, And so it's just an absolute honor, and we're trying to figure out when to put it out this year, and I'm going to travel around and do Q&As for this film, and I can't wait. And, you know, you can rail against the universe and say, I'm misunderstood, people think I'm Ari Gold, or you can go and spend 15 years and make the work of your lifetime, and that's what I did, and I highly suggest anyone do the same.
It is awesome.
But hopefully it won't take you 15 years.
I guess the big question about that movie is, did your mom get to see it?
She did get to see it. She did get to see it. Thank you for asking. She saw it in Palm Springs. And yeah, man, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to even talk about. But, But, you know, because we would speak about it daily, and she would always ask, you know, what's the progress? And if I didn't have any progress, I wouldn't bring it up.
Right.
But, you know, every little victory that we had, and there have been so many. Every review has been so glowing, as if she wrote them. I mean, you know, I'm 80 movies into it, and the reviews have said career-defining performance. And that's not me. It's the role. It's the role, it's the piece, it's the power of the piece. All I had to do was show up and be present for that role and be present for actors like Robert Carlyle, you know, and these are real, he's in a real Nazi uniform. We're filming it overseas, and like, if you can't be fully present in those moments, then you need to go into roofing. You need to find another profession, you know?
No doubt. The film is called The Performance. It was an amazing time, 1937, when it set.
Yeah.
You bring the whole thing back to light in 2025, and it's probably going to stand the test of time. Do you not agree?
No, I totally agree, man. I thank you for saying that. And anyone who is in the business and gets the word out and is a critic and seen too many movies,
yeah,
have agreed with you, and yet, it's been an interesting journey to get it out. But I know that people just need to see it. And you know, we're living in times where people, they work hard for their money, and you know, the big machines have been trying to get them to see the same kind of stuff, and they're not having it. And that's why you see the incredible success of movies like Anora that won the Academy Award, and deservedly so, and these brilliant performances. And I think we're in a very interesting time where it feels like maybe the golden age of cinema again, like the 70s, where people, they don't want just, you know, sound and fury signifying nothing. They want a real story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They want a story to get lost in. And when I show this movie, you know, people get to they stand afterwards, and everyone stays for the Q&A, and I've never seen that in my life. So, and then you juxtapose all that momentum with me running around grabbing a microphone doing stand-up comedy, and people are like, how do you do that? But that's who I am. I got up on the stage at 8 years old, and my parents were my acting teachers, and they really taught us that there's no difference between drama and comedy. And so, yes, the performance may be the work of my life, and I'm out there with a microphone doing comedy. And it all comes from a similar place. And I'll be with you guys in a couple weeks. Do you know what theater I'm at?
Yes, you are. You are going to be at the Bing Crosby Theater, one of the most historic places in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, my God, that's right. The Bing Crosby. I just wanted to make you say it. I'm sorry. That was cruel.
That was my next question. Have you ever been to Spokane before?
I have.
Okay.
I have. And you know, it, whenever I go to a new town, I spend the whole morning walking around. And it's just one of those places where I was like, man, I could live here. And, you know,
we said the same thing.
And I was only here because my mother was here. And as soon as she passed away, I immediately am selling my house and I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando has this great quote about L.A. He said, L.A. is the kind of place where you go to sit by the pool and you get up and it's 20 years later.
Wow. Okay. Very strong.
Yeah.
Very strong.
It's time to go, my friends. It's time to go. No, but it's beautiful out there. And I need a real town. I need real people. I need authentic people. Civilians, good civilians. I don't need people with a TikTok following.
Yeah, we're here for you. Okay. We're here for you, man.
What's the date on the show?
It's April 27th.
April 27th. Okay,
it's a Sunday night.
All right, so good weather. Good weather when you're in town.
We hope.
Oh, man, it doesn't matter because we're all just going to laugh. And, you know, whether you love me or hate me, whether you think I can do this or you can't, I welcome you with open arms because, you know, it's funny. I heard this interview with Bill Burr where he said he went to go see George Carlin with all of his friends in New York because they went to go laugh at him because they thought he was just a hack. And, their lives were changed by seeing his show.
Yeah.
And it's just a great example of people. You can't be offended by people. You don't know what their baggage is or mm-hmm. how they view you. It has not, their view of you has nothing to do with you. So whether, you know, you think I can do stand-up or you can't, I just know that it's my honor to make you guys laugh and crush it and put it all out there and selfishly let you know who I am and what I think is funny about everything that we're going through right now. And we're going through a lot,
yeah,
all of us. So, you know, it's going to be cathartic. I'm so glad you guys didn't ask me the question. What can we expect from you at the Bing Crosby Theater this weekend?
We promised not to. We scratched it out. Yeah.
I love it. What can you expect? Well, stand-up comedy. So I'm going to be naked throwing clay.
Oh,
what do you
I love
think
it.
I'm going to be doing?
Sounds good.
Telling jokes, throwing clay.
How You Living with Jay Piven is your podcast. I know you're proud of this. You're sitting in the studios right now about ready to probably we're probably interrupting the podcast, are we not?
No, sir, you are not interrupting the podcast. We took a little break and we're going to be back up and running. And it's just, you know, that's anytime you take a break from something, you come back, you have this hopefully wisdom. Because you have a new perspective on things.
Yeah.
And there's something about me, and I'm so grateful. People feel very comfortable with me. I swear to you, when I start talking to people, even in life, they just start revealing their life stories to me. And I just thought, man, this would be good for podcasting.
Yeah.
And, so it's been one of those times where, like, people just you know, they're just so open with me, and it's an honor. Maybe because I'm open, and that might have something to do with it, but I just interview people that fascinate me, and they're all so different.
Favorites?
And I'm lining up a bunch of great guests for this year. You know, a buddy of mine just won the UFC belt the other night, Volkanovski.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Volk is one of these guys at 36 years old. They all counted him out.
He's right.
Been on this big old losing streak. And he wins the belt, and the first thing he says is, adversity is a privilege. I was like, man.
Wow.
That's heavy.
After getting out of the ring.
No, he was still in the ring, man, and Rogan put a microphone in his face. And if you go to my Instagram, you see a picture of the two of us there. He's just a really sweet guy. I'm going to, I play massive theaters and, in Australia, you got to go where you're loved.
Yeah.
And he was front row, and I got this great picture of us, and we became friends, and he's just an inspiration to me.
Man, that is so cool.
So he's my next interview.
And okay.
Anybody that stands out in the past that if they wanted to go back and check out the How You Living with Jay Piven podcast, where would you point them?
Well, first of all, right now it's up on YouTube because – we're in between platforms. Things happen, as you guys know. The business is always fascinating.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll interview people. It's really kind of all over the map. I could sit down with Bert Kreischer, who's, you know, one of the biggest touring comics in the world.
He is the machine. Yeah.
You know, and then I'm sitting down with the Bad Vegan, a woman whose documentary blew up on Netflix, and revealing everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, this is what a story, what a life that people can learn from our lives, and what an opportunity to do this. So I'm pretty excited about it. There's so many different types of people I can't wait to sit down with, even people who are having, you know, going through their spiritual journey. And that's what everyone is, really. And that's why, even if I'm interviewing athletes, I want to know about that turning point moment in their lives. And will they reveal it to us so that we can all learn from them?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
We look forward to checking out that podcast. And, of course, an extremely funny stand-up show. His U.S. tour hits the Bing Crosby Theater Sunday night, April 27th. Actor, comedian, podcast host, Jeremy Piven, thank you so much for your time.
Come to my show, but don't be like those guys. They're like, bro, I'm the biggest fan. I'm like, come to my show. They're like, I'm not that big of a fan.
Thank you, Jeremy. We appreciate the time.
I'll see you soon. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you soon.